The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 23, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on December 12th, 2017, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavan Eka Asa Idam Agre Atma Atmanam Vibhu Atma Itscha Anugatau Atma Nana Mati Upalakshana Bhagavan Eka Asedam Agga Atmat Manam Vibhu Atmechanu Gatavatma Nanamat Yupalakshana Bhagavan Eka Asedam Agga Atmat Manam Vibhu Atmechanu Gatavatma Nanamat Yupalakshana
Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, Eka, one without a second, Asa, was there, Idam, this creation, Agre, prior to the creation, Atma, in his own form, Atmanam, of the living entities, Vibhu, master, Atma, self, its cha, desire, Anugatau, being merged in, Atma, self, Nanamati, different vision, Upalakshana, symptoms. Translation and purport, by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The personality of Godhead, the master of all living entities, existed prior to the creation as one without a second. It is by His will only that creation is made possible, and again everything merges in Him. The Supreme Self is symptomized by different names. Purport. The great sage here begins to explain the purpose of the four original verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Although they have no access to the Srimad Bhagavatam, the followers of the Mayavada impersonalist school sometimes screw out an imaginary explanation of the original four verses. But we must accept the actual explanation given herein by Maitreya Muni, because he, along with Uddhava, personally heard it directly from the Lord. The first verse of the original four verses runs, Aham evasam evagre. The word aham is misinterpreted by the Mayavada school into meanings which no one but the interpreter can understand. Here, aham is explained as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not the individual living entities. Before the creation, there was only the personality of Godhead. There was no Purusha incarnations and certainly no living entities, nor was there any the material energy by which the manifest creation is affected. The Purusha incarnations and all the different energies of the Supreme Lord were merged in him only. The personality of Godhead is described herein as the master of all other living entities. He is like the sun disk, and the living entities are like the molecules of the sun's rays. This existence of the Lord before the creation is confirmed by the Shrutis. Vasudeva va idam agra asit na brahma na cha shankara eko vai narayana asin na brahma neshana. Because everything that be is an emanation from the personality of Godhead. He always exists alone without a second. He can so exist because he is all perfect and omnipotent. Everything other than him, including his plenary expansions, the Vishnu tattvas, is his part and parcel. Before the creation, there was no Karana Narvashayi or Garbhadakashayi or Shiradakashayi Vishnus, or was there Brahma nor Shankara? The Vishnu plenary expansions and the living entities beginning from Brahma are separated parts and parcels. Although the spiritual existence was there with the Lord, the material existence was dormant in him. By his will only is the material manifestation done and undone. The diversity of the Vaikuntha Loka is one with the Lord, just as the diversity of soldiers is one with and the same as the king. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 9:7, the material creation takes place at intervals by the will of the Lord, and in the periods between dissolution and creation, the living entities and the material energy remain dormant in him. When it says is that Krishna was one without a second, prior to the creation, does that mean that the living entities were not existing? One might interpret it in that way. But Krishna clearly states in the Bhagavad Gita, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. So if according to Bhagavad Gita, all the living entities are eternally existing, then how Krishna can be one without a second? The answer is, this is talking about the material creation. In the spiritual world, the devotees are eternally manifested. But in the material world, the living entities go through cycles of manifestation and non-manifestation. The creation, material creation takes place regularly in cycles, not just a one-time thing. It's like the day comes in cycles. There's morning, noon, evening. It's in cycles. So, before the material creation, all the living entities are not manifested. Even the Vishnus are not manifested, described here. The three Vishnus. So we should not think that in the spiritual world, you see, that there's no one but Krishna. No. Krishna is eternally existing, and the living entities eternally exist. It's just in the material world, sometimes they are manifest, sometimes they are not manifest. In the time of the when the universes are not manifested, when the creation is not manifested, the living entities all remain in a dormant state within the body of Mahavishnu. So it's an interesting thing here to understand. Personality of Godhead is described herein as the master of all the living entities. He is like the sun disk, and the living entities are like the molecules of the sun's rays. This gives us an understanding of the Achincha Beta Beta philosophy. Simultaneously one and different. Just like one may say, well, here comes the sun. There was a song by the Beatles, actually. Here comes the sun. So that was referring to the sunshine, you see, not the sun glow. So we call this sunshine, we also call it the sun, but it's not the sun glow. If I say the sun has entered my room, you see, the sunshine enters my room, I say, oh look, the sun has entered my room. But if they had sun glow it entered, you'd be dead, you'd burn to a crisp. So the sunshine is the sun and it is not the sun simultaneously, you understand? The simple example. So in the same way, living in everything is God and everything is not God. Prabhupada actually says in one place, he says, everything is Krishna and nothing is Krishna save and except its original primeval personality. So, in one sense, everything is Krishna. It's all His expanded energy. There's nothing exists outside of Krishna because there's everything that exists is His expanded energy. The ceiling, the floor, the cars out there, the trees, the sky, the planet, the country of Mauritius, the Indian Ocean. All of these things are simply emanated energy coming out of the body of Krishna. So in that sense, everything is Krishna. There's nothing beyond Krishna. Everything exists within Krishna, and Krishna exists within everything. There's nothing except Krishna. But yet, he is distinct from his emanated energy. There's the emanator Krishna and the emanated Krishna, if you can understand. The emanated energy is also him because it's coming out of him. It's not different from him. Krishna is expanded out from himself, his energy. So it's actually the expanded form of Krishna. At the same time, it's different from him. Because he is the emanator and it is the emanated. So this is a very sublime philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Chincha Beda Beda Tattva. The Mayavadis say, well, it's all Krishna. But they can't distinguish between the emanator Krishna and the emanated Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya very clearly teaches this philosophy, Achincha Beda Beda Tattva. So one should understand it very carefully and very clearly. There is oneness and there's unity and diversity simultaneously. So one may say, well, what's the need for all this philosophy? Can't we just chant Hare Krishna? Isn't that enough? Well, it is, but the thing is, the philosophy is required to convince us to chant. If philosophy was not required, why have Prabhupada written so many volumes of books? If chanting Hare Krishna was all we needed, then why so many books to convince us to chant Hare Krishna? Actually, the more you can understand things as they are, the more you will understand why you need to do what you need to do. So to have scientific knowledge of reality, the material reality, the spiritual reality. Actually, there is only the material. Actually, spiritual reality is the only reality. Matter is simply part of spirit. It's the covered portion of spirit. Everything that exists is Krishna's energy. It's all. Everything is actually spiritual. When we don't see that, then it is material. You see. So to have an understanding of this philosophy is very, very essential. Therefore, it is taught very carefully by Srila Prabhupada. Because we are so caught up in material philosophy. We've been trained like that. taking the body as the self is the greatest illusion of them all. We think I'm the body. That's our so-called knowledge. I'm male. And every time you fill out a form, you got to check out whether you're male or female. When actually you're neither. Our culture forces us to say I'm male, I'm female, but actually you're neither of those things. Jivarasa Rupahai Krishnara Nishadat. The point is, this material civilization is conditioning us to be materialistic. You understand the word? The so-called scientists, they teach us there's a big bang. Everything came out of a big bang. Now, is that very logical? If I told you this building, this nice building we're sitting in today, it was constructed in a very interesting way. They took all the building materials, you know, bags of cement and tiles and, you know, curtains and bars, and they just laid it in a pile in the here on the property, and they threw a stick of dynamite in it, and boom, here's the building. Would you accept that as reasonable? But that's what the scientists tell us. This whole ordered creation came out of a big explosion. You see, this is how we're taught in school, the Big Bang Theory. And then Dr. Stephen Hawking, he's taken it one step further. He says that the Big Bang came out of nothing. Nothing is the source of everything. That's what he said. But science means you can do an experiment to prove your theory. You see. So where's the experiment that you can do to produce anything out of nothing? Can any scientist take nothing and get something out of it? Has it ever been done in the laboratory? No, it's never been done. But yet, Dr. Stephen Hawking, he wants us to believe that everything came out of nothing. So it's time for us to realize that we're being duped by these so-called scientists. Really, we're being duped. We're being misled by them. It's not a fact that everything comes out of nothing. It's not a fact there was a big bang, a big explosion, and all the everything, the nice trees and flowers and lychee fruits, it all just came out of an explosion. I mean, it's crazy. There's a supreme orchestrator behind it. A master orchestrator behind the whole thing, and that is Krishna. So the more we can understand the science of Krishna, how there's a loving person behind everything, and that the purpose of our existence is to reestablish our lost loving relationship with that person, the more we can understand these things, then we become convinced to chant Hare Krishna, to engage in devotional service, to bow down before Krishna, to bow down before Guru. We have to know why. Not just, well, we're supposed to do this. Why are we supposed to do this? Because somebody growing up in India, they're taught that they're cultured in that way, so they just do it. This is our Indian culture. But that's not enough. In so many cultures, why not Muslim culture? Why not Christian culture? You see? One needs to understand why, scientifically, why we bow down, why we chant, why we offer arati, why we offer our foodstuffs to Krishna. These things should be understood. And then you can do it with deep conviction, not just mechanically. See, going through the motions is not a very valuable thing. Making a show of bhakti is not a very valuable thing. But actually understand why I need to do these things. And to do it with that full comprehension, why I need to chant, why I need to do this, why I need to do that. It's all for the purpose of reestablishing that beautiful, wonderful, sweet, unlimitedly nectarian relationship I once had with Krishna, but somehow I foolishly threw it away. It's to reestablishing that thing, that loving relationship with Krishna. The whole point of what we're doing is simply boils down to that. There's the person of Krishna. Each one of us has an intimate, loving relationship with Him. We've totally forgotten Him. Totally forgotten Him. Gotten so lost in these false identifications in millions of different species, you see. Millions of different forms. We've totally lost our consciousness of who we actually are. So this knowledge and this practice brings us back to our original identities. So we should be very sober. We should be very serious to try to understand who I am. What is the purpose of my existence? Why do I exist? You see? Because my mother and father wanted to have a baby? Is that why I exist? No. That may explain the material body. It doesn't explain the jiva, the atma. Why your atma exists? You see? Why you, not your atma, but why you, the atma, exist? Now you should know. I exist for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to have a loving relationship with God. That's why I exist. No other reason. It's the only reason I exist. Simply to have a loving relationship with God for His satisfaction. That automatically brings me satisfaction as well. So there's some questions, I can try to answer them. I cannot understand how the jivas are being eternally manifested. I mean, logically, Krishna must have been alone first and then manifested us out of this the spiritual world. Well, logically you may not understand it, but why don't you take the authority of Krishna? Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings. Why don't you just take Krishna's authority? Krishna says there was never a time when I did not exist, nor you. Why don't you just take Krishna's authority? See, what confuses us is, well, if we emanated from Krishna, there must have been a time we weren't emanated. But why Krishna can't eternally emanate us from Himself? Is there any reason why He can't do that? There's no reason why He can't do that. Krishna is eternally emanating us from Himself. Because He says He's doing that. Well, who am I to argue with Krishna? Well, Krishna, no, you're not really doing that. I don't think you're doing that because it doesn't make sense to me. It's not logical. Well, wait a minute. Why don't you tune into Krishna's logic instead of your logic? What is the importance of the mind in relation to other components of the body? The mind is separate from your material body. It's a subtle body, part of the subtle body. Here's the simile. Okay, your senses are the horses. The mind is the reins. The intelligence is the driver, and the soul is the passenger. Does the U.S. government officials still believe that they did send people to the moon planet? I don't know what the officials are thinking now. They're pretty crazy characters, if you ask me. What they're thinking now, who knows? There's so many government officials, they all have different mentalities. The creation and destruction goes on eternally, so why is the word prior to the creation being used in this verse? Because before each creation, there is prior to the creation. It's like, I can say prior to sunrise, it was like this. Well, that's happening in cycles. Prior to the sunrise. Same thing.
no way day there is many deceases, especially the mind. Nowadays, there is many deceased. I can't make out the word.
Diseases.
Oh, okay. You spell it with a D-E. Yeah, diseases. Yes, people's minds are very diseased because our movement is meant to cure the mental disease of the human population. You see, we are those who are actually fixed in Krishna consciousness. They are expert psychologists, and they can. Of course, those of us who are neophytes, we're not there yet. The realized spiritual masters, they are expert psychologists, like Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura. And they are training us how to become healthy mentally, which means the mind is always fixed in Krishna consciousness 24/7. Right now, we neophyte devotees, our minds are dancing here, there, everywhere, dancing. See, isn't it? Doesn't your mind dancing like a monkey? Isn't it? I know mine sure is. Dancing here, dancing there, dancing everywhere. So these great acharyas, they're teaching us how to fix the minds on Krishna. A dancing mind is a sick mind. The mind is meant to be fixed. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalamastanam tatastato nayam yatad atmanyagvavishamniyat. Krishna says in Gita, wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one should certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. If our mind is wandering, we fall asleep in the class also. That means our mind is wandering. But if we can fix our minds, we won't fall asleep. Many of us have that problem sometimes. So because our minds are not fixed, therefore we don't relish the nectar of Bhagavatam because our mind is going somewhere else and we will fall asleep. The Shastra is saying, what God is one without a second, that God is one without a second, then how does the Madhavavadi say that we are also God? The Mayavadis are just, they're concoctors. They concoct their own doctrine to satisfy their false egos, really. The Mayavadis don't have any scriptural basis for what they're doing. They misinterpret the Vedas to puff themselves up that they're God. That's Mayavadi philosophy. I went to hear a Mayavadi sannyasi one time before I met the devotees. I didn't know about Krishna consciousness movement yet, but I went to hear a Mayavadi sannyasi. What did he say? He said, I'm God, you're God, and we're all God. Now, for a materialistic person, that sounds pretty good. Wow. I gave up going to church, but now I can meditate and become God. Wow, I think I'll start meditating now. I'll become spiritual again. I can become God. This is so-called spirituality. It's very popular. It's called New Age spirituality. I'm God, you're God, we're all God. Om Tat Sat. Thanks a lot. I'm God. Jai, I knew I was someone special. Now I found out I'm God. You see, this is very attractive Mayavadi philosophy. And voidism is a very similar thing. And voidism, it's all void, you see. But you say it's all one, it's all void, it's very similar. This voidism is very popular. The Beatles even had a song like that. Lay down all thoughts, surrender to the void. Is it glowing? Is it glowing? We were taught by the Beatles that actually everything is void. You got to surrender to the void, merge into nothingness. But the idea of merging into the void or merging into oneness, it's still the idea of becoming God, is it? Same thing. It's slightly different. Impersonalism is in voidism. Nirvishesha shunyavadi. You see. Prabhupada has come to save us, so impersonalism is in voidism. So this voidistic philosophy, emerging into the void, or becoming God, is basically the same thing. Just stated in a slightly different way. That's all. It's the same philosophy that, yes, I am the Supreme. Any more questions? At the time of the dissolution of this universe, everything enters in the body of Krishna. Now, Vishnu, actually, can you elaborate? Yamaha Vishnu. It's all wrapped up in him. Is there any specific instruction given by Srila Prabhupada that on a Ekadasi one should remain, one should chant, or one should remain whole night and chant 25 rounds of japa? 25 rounds is not any instruction, but the idea of staying up all night and chanting, that is mentioned. However, Prabhupada didn't require that of us, because we knew we were very fallen souls. Actually, when I joined, Ekadasi was a feast day. Prabhupada made it easy for us to observe Ekadasi. It was a feast day. The Ekadasi feast. That was how Ekadasi was practiced when Prabhupada was here. We had it in the beginning, anyway. In the very beginning, when I joined Ekadasi, was a feast day. Ekadasi, a feast. No grains. You know, we have Kheer Halava. Kheer Halava was there, I think. Yeah, Kheer Halava and sweet. I forget what the other preps were.
Peanuts.
Yeah. Peanuts and Kheer Halava. So Prabhupada, but actually the real standard of Ekadasi is to fast and stay up all night. But Prabhupada didn't require that of us. One wants to completely fast and engaged in 24 in kirtan 24 hours, that's very nice, or chant japa 24 hours. Don't take any prasadam, just chant japa or do kirtan 24 hours. That's very good observance for Ekadasi. I don't do that. A little bit. I need to do service the next day, so I don't do that. I'm not able to stay up all night and then go the next day without any sleep. Shishi Radha Logolokananda Ki Jai. But if one can actually do that, you can stay up all night and go to work the next day and perform nicely at your job. Hey, I don't know if anybody can do that.
Huh?
If they can do their service the next day, then that's okay. Yeah, if you can do your service, the whole thing is you got to maintain your steady service. The material world is made of material elements. It is said that everything merges in Him. It is also mentioned that the Lord never comes in contact with the material nature. Well, there's the Mahavishnu is the one who absorbs the material nature within himself, not his expanded form does that, not Krishna himself, his original form. Or is there any specific instruction? Oh, okay. So that's all the questions, and let's see, we still have a few minutes left. If there's any other questions, I can try to answer them. Yeah? Yeah, the living entities are dependent. They don't exist independently. Just like the sun rays depend on their. Without the sun rays would be. If you take the sun away, the sun rays are almost also gone automatically. So the living entities cannot exist independently from Krishna. There's no independent existence. If there's no Krishna, there's no us. Reality mind is Krishna. It's nothing. It's just void. I don't exist, you don't exist, nothing exists. Even the concept of existence doesn't even exist if there's no Krishna. It's impossible there to be no Krishna, because it's impossible. Krishna cannot not exist. It's not possible. Absolutely impossible. Krishna must necessarily exist. Should we make any distinction between Vrindavan and Mayapur? Spiritually, no. They are equally potent. However, in terms of practice, you have to make some distinctions, because Vrindavan is more strict, because Lord Chaitanya is very merciful. In Vrindavan, any offenses can be very, very heavy reaction from offenses in Vrindavan. Although Mayapur is a little not so heavy like that. They're both unlimitedly sweet. Krishna is fully manifest both in Vrindavan and Mayapur. Just like, is there any difference between Krishna and Lord Chaitanya? It's the same thing. They are one, but there's distinctions also. Vrindavan means you're directly associating with Krishna, but Mayapur means you're directly associating with Lord Chaitanya. So in either case, it's associating with the Supreme Personality of God, and so in that sense, there is no distinction. But yet, that Lord Chaitanya is his manifestation of mercy. When Krishna in the mood of completely flooding this whole material world with his mercy, that is Lord Chaitanya. So there is a distinction. And there's not both at the same time. Anything else? Okay, we can stop here, and we thank you all very much. Gantarad Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Bhavavara ki jai, Gaura Prima Nandi. Srimad Sankarshan Das Kari Maharaj ki jai.